Thank God you're here. Thank God I'm here.
Thank God this day is here. Because it's all a gift. Paul said remarkable words to the church at Corinth a couple thousand years ago. We're on the road to Thanksgiving. We want to set personal records for gratitude in our lives over these next several days. And here's a wonderful question to live with. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? Just think for a moment. Your body, being alive, your genes, family, mind that works. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? So, here's a parable about gratitude from a writer, Ronald Rollheiser, and his book, Sacred Fire. Look at this one. We're going to look at another parable by Jesus a little bit later on. Rollheiser talks about when he was young, one time he had to go to the hospital for an injury, and he shared a room with a 50-something-year-old truck driver who was in enormous pain, would sometimes keep him awake at night with his groaning and his discomfort. One night, deep into the night, truck drivers in great discomfort. Eventually, he pushed his buzzer. The nurse came into the ward, and she administered a painkiller to him. A few minutes later, the medication took effect. He relaxed considerably. Just as the nurse turned to leave the room, he said to her in a clear, firm voice, I really appreciate you doing this for me. She replied simply, no need for thanks. I'm only doing my job. But he answered, ma'am, it's nobody's job to take care of me. So when you do this for me, I need to say thanks. It's nobody's job to take care of me. Now, that's actually a phrase we're going to live with because it's really important. When somebody does, we ought to be grateful. Rollheiser goes on, gratitude is the basis of all holiness. The holiest person you know is the most grateful. It's true for love. The most loving person you know is the most grateful person you know because love finds its basis in gratitude. Anything we call love but that is not rooted in gratitude will, at the end, be manipulative and self-serving. If our love and serving do not begin in gratitude, we will end up carrying other people's crosses and sending them the bill. And nobody wants to get that bill. Nobody's job to take care of me. There's a Christian writer, Robert Roberts, who might not be grateful for his double name, but he writes about what's the perspective that creates gratitude as a matter of perceiving in us? Sometimes it's possible to say thank you when you don't really feel it. Better than not saying it, but I want to become the kind of person that actually experiences gratitude as I walk through my life. And Robert says, there are three elements. When they are present, they will consistently produce a sense of gratitude. It's nobody's job to take care of me, so when somebody does, I got to say thanks. And here are those elements. First of all, Robert says, there has to be a benefit. That little word, bene, I'm kind of pointing out because it's from a Latin word that means good, the good stuff, the goods. In your job, you might have bennies. So there has to be something that good that comes my way. Piece of music that I love, food that delights me, an idea that is wonderful, a memory that warms my heart. Whatever that is, there's got to be a benefit. But then it can't just come at random. There must be a benefactor. There must be a person who intended good for me. If gratitude is going to be produced, not just joy, but gratitude. And when there is a benefactor, I will want to say thank you to that benefactor. Philippians, he says, one of the terrible things about being an atheist is when you feel joy at being alive, there's nobody to thank. Joy at looking at this world, there's nobody to thank. So there has to be a benefactor. And then there has to be a beneficiary. And that beneficiary, that's me. That's you. That's someone who receives the benefit and then recognizes there's a benefactor and is grateful. Now, lots of stuff might come my way, but I might not experience them as a gift. So what do we do then? And that brings me to the second parable that I want to talk about. This is one that Jesus told in Luke chapter 17. It doesn't get talked about very much. It doesn't get preached on very much. So let's read it and then talk about it for a minute. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later on, you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are only unworthy slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Now, this on the face of it looks like a pretty weird story. Isn't Jesus like Mr. Servanthood? Isn't he the guy that put a towel over his arm and he himself actually, even though he was the master, washed the feet like a slave would do of his disciples? Didn't he always say stuff like, the servant will be the greatest of you all? What in the world is he doing, you know, dissing the servants like this? So it's a real important parable. It is not about how you treat the household staff. This is not a Downton Abbey story. And by the way, in the ancient world, including in Israel, it was common for quite ordinary families to have a servant. Here, apparently, there's just one, because the same guy that was plowing is going to be the cook. James and John, for example, Mark 1:20, their family had hired people or servants. Folks might have their children serve as servants for other quite ordinary families. And the key idea here, the key statement is when Jesus comes to the payoff and he says, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded to do." So he's not telling this parable, like, here's how you ought to treat, you know, your employees or your staff or the butler or something like that. He's talking about what my posture is when I seek to follow God or obey God, his disciples specifically, when they would seek to do what he would say. Now, what were they commanded to do? Of course, primarily it was love. To love God and then love other people. Here's the problem for religious people in particular. What can come to mind when I begin to do that is what would happen for religious leaders very often in his day. And here's part of what he's talking about is the next thought that comes is, look at me. Wow, I'm amazing. I ought to be congratulated. I am entitled to some pretty serious rewards. And of course, there's pride. And the difficulty is then that kills gratitude. Because again, gratitude requires a benefit, a good that comes into my life from a benefactor, from a generous giver, and that I am the beneficiary. If I pay you for a car and then you give me the car, I'm not grateful because I paid for it. I was entitled to it. If you just walk up to me and give me a car and I'm right here, I've become new, well, then I'm going to experience a whole lot of gratitude. And so the more entitled I feel, the less gratitude I will experience. The more pride I live with, the less gratitude I experience. Gratitude comes with a deep sense of humility because then I recognize, oh, this is a gift. This is a gift. This is a gift. I didn't earn this. I'll tell you another wonderful question. This is from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, where God is going to have David serve him as the leader of the people of Israel. And David's response is, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord? What is my family that you should take me this far, that you should allow me to become your servant? Who am I?" That's the point of Jesus' message. It's very much like, if I never serve and then one day I do something like I make the bed and I say, "Oh, Miss, come here and look at this quick. What a wonderful thing I have done," because I've never done that before. So I feel entitled to praise and recognition. Mother Teresa did not have thoughts like that occur to her. To her, serving was just a wonderful thing to be able to do. She did it for the joy. She did not feel that it entitled her to praise or recognition. And so there was great gratitude attached to it. Dallas used to say, "One of the signs of spiritual maturity are the thoughts that no longer occur to you." And now these are the servants in Jesus' story. When they're doing what they're commanded, and again, that begins with love, to love God and to love people.
Then the thought that comes is, oh my gosh, look at me, Levin. Somebody hire a brass band. Put this in the newspaper, online, or something. It was just, what a gift it is to be able to live in this way. So that's the beginning of our journey into gratitude, to learn to look at life differently and to see it as a gift. What do I have that I did not receive? And why do I boast about it? Why do I think about it as though it was not a gift? My friend Mark Nelson has sent along prompts for gratitude, and we're going to use those because they go a little deeper. You know, one of the difficulties with keeping a gratitude journal or a gratitude list is it can just turn into one more to-do list. And of course, then there's not much experience gratitude. So here's where I'll start for today. I'll give you a little exercise each day. We'll walk through this each day. I remember hearing Dallas do a lecture one time where he's talking about actually coming alive to God. And he's talking about, how do you do that? How do you live in the kingdom? And the invitation was, he was doing this at a school at Westmont College. And he said, you could start by this today. Be grateful for your tests. There was just a buzz in the room because it had never occurred to anybody to be grateful for a test. So to step back and think, oh, I get to learn. And I get to find out if that learning is being effective and what more I could do to learn. And I don't have to worry about my well-being on the line. I can be grateful that I get to have a test today. So the invitation today is be grateful for your work. If you're a student, your work at school, be grateful for your test. If you're working at home, be grateful I can make this bed. I can prepare this meal. Or in another kind of work setting, I can write this email. I can do this task. I can contribute. Who am I to get to do this? This is a gift. What do I have that I did not receive? We have a lot to be grateful for.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm Tim. I'm a part of the team and I'm a pastor. And I love that question. What work, what tests in your life can you be grateful for today? I've got my own list of things that I'm thinking about. One of the things I'm grateful for is this work at Become New is for you and for this community that I get to be a part of. This is way more than just a video to watch each weekday. This is a community of people who want to put Jesus in charge of their spiritual formation and are on that journey together. So I hope that you'll join us. If you want more resources, like the email that we write to go along with every video, or a text reminder whenever we drop a new video, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Otherwise, drop what you're grateful for in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening on podcast, send it to us on text or email. All of our contacts in the show notes. We'll see you next time.